Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to the Ways of Faith podcast. Thank you for joining me as we continue our discussion about prayer. And in fact, today I'd like to wrap up this discussion on prayer because I'd like for the rest of Holy Week to unpack and discuss the significance of the events of our Lord Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection for us. So today, let's discuss one last difficulty that we can often experience in our prayer. And again, it's a very common one, and that is discouragement or disappointment. And here I'm especially thinking of the experience that I'm sure most of us have had of praying hard for something or someone, and what we ask for doesn't happen. Perhaps we've been praying for years for a person's conversion. Maybe a family member or dear friend became very ill, and we prayed and prayed for their recovery, but they did not recover. It's so easy to feel disappointed, to become discouraged when it seems as though God is not willing to answer our prayer, or even when it feels like He isn't listening. I believe that sometimes this even tempts people to give up on prayer, and tragically, sometimes even to give up on God. People might wonder, well, what's the use of praying anyways? I hardly ever get what I ask for. So how do we deal with this? What can we say in the face of what seems to be, to us, unanswered prayer? Well, there's, I think, several responses that we could offer, but I'd like to focus on two, okay? The first is, what do I mean when I say that God did not answer my prayer? What do I mean by that? Well, I probably mean that I prayed for a specific thing, a specific intention, or prayed for a certain result in someone's life, and what I asked God for didn't happen. So we say God didn't answer my prayer. But the question is that actually correct? Now, I'm going to admit that this is going to sound harsh, and I don't mean it that way, but I do think it's something that we have to consider. Do we understand God to be answering my prayer only when I get what I asked for? In other words, in our minds, is the only legitimate answer for us when God says yes? Because honestly, no, or not yet, is an answer. And it's a perfectly legitimate one. It's just not the answer that we want. But it can be the answer that's truly needed. What do I mean by that? Okay, well, think of it this way. Let's use a silly example, okay? When a child asks his mother for a second helping of ice cream, let's say, and she says no, she has answered his question, right? Now, granted, it's not the answer he wanted, but it's still a perfectly legitimate answer. Now, the child won't say, "Mom didn't answer my request." But a child will say, "Mom didn't give me what I wanted." So, and again, brace yourselves here a little bit. If God says no or not yet to our petition, are we discouraged because we think God hasn't answered our prayer? Or aren't we, in fact, discouraged because God hasn't given to us what we wanted? He hasn't answered our prayer the way we wanted Him to. Now, I realize most of the time, obviously, hopefully, what people pray for is a whole lot more important than a second helping of ice cream. But I think there are similar principles at play here. St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 26, that we do not know how to pray as we ought. We do not know how to pray as we ought. Now, that's the Bible speaking, right? So the question is, do I believe that? Do I believe that in actuality I do not, on my own, know how to pray as I should? I don't know what's spiritually best for me or for others. Because that also means then that I ask for things not according to what God sees as most important, but as what I see as most important when I pray, right? And when what God sees as most important and what I see as most important clash, I get frustrated then that God doesn't do what I see as most important. But think about it this way. If God did do that, if he always gave us what we asked, what kind of father would he really be? Let's go back to our silly example of the child and the ice cream, okay? The mother says no to the child's request for a second helping of ice cream, not because she is mean, hopefully, or because she enjoys depriving her child of good things, but because she knows that a second helping would not be good for him. Sure, it'll taste good, but it won't be good for him. She knows that he has already had a full dinner and one healthy helping of ice cream already, and she knows that if she allows him to have that second helping of ice cream, chances are quite good, knowing her son and his constitution as she does, that he will get sick to his stomach before long. She also knows that it's important, even at a young age, to teach her child the virtue of moderation and to teach him to enjoy the good things of life in a balanced way, not in a gluttonous way. So for all these reasons, she says no. Now, she knows full well that in his childishness, he will probably pout and get mad at her and not understand. But she loves him so much as her son that she's willing to let him be mad at her in order to do what is in fact best for him. His health is more important to her than his being happy with her. And it's similar with God. He loves us completely and totally, which means that more than anything, he wants what is best for us. And remember, that means first and foremost, he wants what is best for our spiritual health and what is most likely to lead to our salvation. So if God says no or not yet to what we ask him, then it's an opportunity for us to exercise our trust in him. Well, if God does not grant me my request, then he must have a good reason. He, in his plan of salvation for the whole world, it's better that he not answer it as I have asked right now. Now, that is not at all to say that we should ever hesitate to ask. God loves us as his children, and he wants his children to exercise their free will, to approach him in prayer and ask with a trusting heart for what we want and need. But he also asks that we trust him to do what is best for us. It's not an accident that after saying that we do not know how to pray as we ought, two verses later in the same chapter of the letter to the Romans, St. Paul then says, "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes." So that's the first thing to think about when it feels like God isn't answering my prayer. He is answering it, just not in the way that we want. And do I trust him to know better than I do what is best for me and for those whom I care about in my life? And a second thing to think about when it seems like our prayers are not being answered, and this one comes directly from the Catechism in paragraph 2735, okay? Quote, "In the first place, we ought to be astonished by this fact. When we praise God or give him thanks for his benefits in general, we are not particularly concerned whether or not our prayer is acceptable to him. On the other hand, we demand to see the results of our petitions when we ask him for things. So what is the image of God that motivates our prayer? An instrument to be used? Or the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ?" End quote. Now, wow, that's pretty direct, isn't it, right? But it's a really good point. Think about it. In our prayers of thanksgiving to God, when we thank him for things, do we worry ourselves whether or not God has found our prayer acceptable, whether or not he has received it? Probably not, if you're like me. Isn't it true that the prayers we're most concerned about are the ones where we want something from him? Remember, friends, here, it's all about a relationship. God loves you as a father loves his children, with a love that is infinitely rich and deep and powerful. He will only ever act for your good. especially our spiritual good, our eternal good. And that includes how he answers our prayers. So we can trust him because he is always faithful. God bless you. Act of spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there, and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.